Well, we have a special treat today. We have a guest speaker, our brother Apostle Mike McGee. And this hymn really touched me. Because I think about the servants of God and their singular focus in delivering that gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. And that's giving your best to the master. It's not done half-heartedly. It's not done when you feel like it. It's a 24/7 job. And it really falls on all of us. But our brother has special responsibilities and privileges that take him to faraway parts in the world, speaking to people that maybe he doesn't share their language. But he does what this hymn says. It says, join in the battle for truth. And we're out there every day defending the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's under attack from every side. But we know it's true. And we know it's true because it's cemented in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I would ask that you would offer a prayer in your heart, that indeed that Holy Spirit would bring us the message that's been laid upon my brother's heart this day. So I give you my brother, Apostle Mike McGee.
Good morning. It's good to be here once again, to look out and to see your faces familiar as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have many scriptures to offer. I have a lot of pictures. And as you look at those pictures, I want you to remember the scriptures in your heart and your mind and how they're coming to pass in our day. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 12, Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And my brother, your pastor, reminded us that we are enjoined in a battle for truth. This world that we depend upon for a living, a place to live, to be born into, to die out of, to build our families and our businesses, our way of life, has changed. It's different than when I grew up. And it's not just because I'm older. It is different. What I depended on as a child, an adolescent, a teen, a young man, the way I learned to work and to work hard to make a living no longer depends upon how hard you work. It's changed. And I think the answer is found in verses like number 12. We wrestle in this world not against what we remembered, but against powers that are now. Our brother reminded us that we are in a battle for truth. And in this passage of scriptures, it invites us to be strong in the Lord and to put on the power of his might. And it says to put on the whole armor of God. It also says once you have put on that armor of God that you are to stand in this world to make a difference. And God does not leave us powerless against these powers that are listed in verse 12. He has prepared a way for his children, a way that enables them to withstand what is found in the world today, not of our strength, but of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he holds available. Now, in these pictures I'm going to show you, they're of the Philippines. And I want you to think not of the Filipinos as an extension of this church, as a branch, as a segment. They are members of the body of Christ, and not just Filipinos that have chosen Christ in the church of Christ, but wherever you have sent your missionaries. And we're in the world in quite a number of places. 20 years ago, who would have dreamed? Who would have thought it possible? But I want you to think about what makes it possible. Well, God, Jesus Christ. But today, you make it possible. Through your prayers, through your time, through your money. And we that are blessed to be sent forth by you, we do not take these lightly. We depend upon them. And we know that it is because you give them or enable us, not because you like us, but that you love us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe that this work that has started will not end until the battle is over. And that battle, that triumph is assured in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of pictures, so I'd better start showing some of them. This is a map of the Philippines, and down at the bottom, southernmost, you'll see a star that marks just north of the city of Davao. And that's where the headquarters for the work in the Philippines is, in Panabo City. I'm going to show you some pictures all the way up to the north. You'll see a city on the island of Luzon by the name of Nueva Ecija. And then a little right in the middle, you'll see an island by the name of Bohol. And we've been there also. And then we're going to look at pictures of a mission, Pagadian. I have no idea where it is. I've not been there. And our brothers don't use maps all that well. They know where it's at, but show me on a map and I know, and I'll find out. But I'm told it's 18 hours by a van from headquarters. I've been 10 hours. I can't imagine 18 hours in that van. I'm not sure I want to go that way. And so I'm going to show pictures of about three or four different works here in the Philippines. These are two of the brothers that went on this trip. The one on the left is Priest Arturo Superio. The one on the right is Evangelist Camilo Sampson. And they're waiting for a flight in the airport there in Davao. And I want to tell you a little bit about these three that went to these missions. First and foremost, the one on the right, Evangelist Sampson. I asked them for their favorite scriptures or testimonies, what they thought the future of the Church of Christ was, and what their role would be in that work. And we met for 3 days with all the ministry, not just these three. And I told them I was going to hurt their feelings. I was going to make most of them mad. And I was going to challenge each and every one of them. And I succeeded. And then afterwards, I asked them if they wanted to do this again someday. You know what they said? They want to. It was a good time to get together and to know each other. Camilo used Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, quoted in part as receiving power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he assured me and all his brothers that he feels that power. And he now knows the real truth. He was a minister at another church before he joined the Church of Christ. And he had a knowledge and he had a truth. But after being exposed to the Church of Christ for about a year and a half, he determined to be baptized into the Church of Christ. And he says now he knows the real power and the real truth. And he feels that Holy Ghost within him. And he uses that for a guide. The real truth and the real knowledge. And he said that the old church was founded upon the teachings of a man. But this Church of Christ, as you and I know, is founded upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is his church. He founded it. The man there on the left is Priest Arturo Superior. He quoted in part Acts 20:24. I give my life to finish my course and my ministry. And he said his life is given over underneath the banner of the Church of Christ. And as he learned of the Church of Christ, as he was taught, as he listened to the preaching, as he studied the scriptures, he prayerfully considered baptism. And he had a dream. And he said, in this dream, he could see this fountain of pure water, cleansing water. And he desired to apply that to himself to be cleansed. And someone was withholding the water. And he couldn't obtain it. And he awoke. And he prayed about that dream and he asked for baptism. He knew he was the one that had to ask. And Christ would freely give. And he did. He said after baptism he was happy. But he suffered backbiting. Because of the family. Because of his choice. Because of the baptism. But he said, with joy I will finish my course. He teaches about 5 seminars that are put on with a big banner that has scriptures and what they mean condensed. And he teaches them. He didn't put them together, but teacher Ben Retinol did. He was another minister, now deceased. And I gave him The Marvelous Work and a Wonder. I asked him to read it and to tell me what he thought about it. And out of that, he put together these 5 seminars. He's no longer with us, but Brother Ben, when he traveled to present these seminars, he couldn't drive a motorcycle. The priest could and did. And he heard each and every one of these seminars time and time again. And he's now the one that has taken up the work. And he does a good job. Brother Ben taught with humor. And his students laughed and they learned. Well, Arturo's a little bit different. He's more of a disciplinarian. And they pay attention. He knows when to lighten up a little bit. But each had their own teaching skills and did quite well. The evangelist Samson on the right, and on the left is Elder Jonathan Alameda. He's also the secretary of the priesthood there. His favorite scripture was from the book of Enos, the first chapter. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. And he liked that story about Enos going out into the jungle to obtain truth from God. He could identify with that. He said his first experience with the Church of Christ was at Mount Carmel. And I remember that day, Brother Frank and I were there. And we were teaching, and Jonathan was there, and he came up during a break time, getting ready for lunch, and he asked one question after another. Not easy ones, hard ones. The guy wouldn't shut up. He kept asking. And he said that, Jonathan said, I remember that day because Frank blushed. He got Frank red in the face from answering all these hard questions. And his father, Prudencio Alameda, Jonathan's father, told him afterwards, he said, you are a hard-headed man with a stubborn spirit. And Frank gave him his Book of Mormon, the only one he had in the Philippines, the one that he used here in the States, the one with all the notes in it. The one that turns to just the right page when you think about it. He gave that away. And I asked him about it later. I said, Frank, what are you going to do? And he says, I guess you're doing all the preaching. But it was a good investment. Because Jonathan took almost 2 years reading that Book of Mormon. And he said he found no mistake in it. But then he had a problem. He said, I thought to myself, if I leave my church that I'm a member of, I'm no longer a minister. I'm no longer an officer within that church. And Jonathan made a good living. He told me how much. And it was more than a teacher makes in the Philippines. It was more than a policeman makes in the Philippines. It was more than an honest politician in the Philippines makes. Not dishonest, but an honest one. He made good money. And he prayed, he said, God, if I leave that church and join another church, leave that ministry behind, what kind of servant will I be? And God told him, a humble one. And he was baptized into the Church of Christ. So these are the three of the ministry that went on the missions that we sent them to. They're traveling to Nueve and Ceja, which was the star to the northernmost point on that map of the Philippines, the island of Luzon. They spent the night in Caloocan, and they began their journey to Nueve and Ceja, which was about 3 miles north of Manila. And on that way, this is taken inside a bus looking out at a toll booth. On the island of Mindanao, I have not seen a toll booth. I have not seen an expressway. I have not seen a good highway. Luzon is one of the richer of the islands there in the Philippines. And then they began their journey from Paniqui to Cuyapa, which was farther to the north, about a 30-minute ride on one of their tricycles. And these are the leaders of another church that asked that they come and asked that the Church of Christ be presented to them. That's the wife of the leader. This church, this facility, I'm not sure who owns this, if they rent it. The details I'm not too sure about at this time. But this is Arturo on the left there, presenting one of the expositions, one of his seminars on the Bible, the Book of Mormon, baptism, the Holy Ghost. He's got about 5 of them, 6 in the works. This is during the Sunday service. And they always have special numbers when the microphone works. There is not a bashful Filipino. That's the leader there that is presenting the speakers. First one was Evangelist Samson, and they call it words of encouragement. And it's not much different than a sermon, just the length. Most of the time, words of encouragement you would think would be quite short, but they can drag on for quite some time. And then Arturo Superior, the priest, had his opportunity for words of encouragement. Jonathan was the one that took charge of the service and preached. And this is during the worship service. Looks like a pretty good sized facility. That's the young people they have there in Nueve Enseja with the leader on the right. And then that Sunday afternoon, 17 determined and were led into the waters of baptism. And that's a swimming pool. I've not baptized in a swimming pool. I've baptized in the sea, in the bay, in a water buffalo pond, a river, a stream, but I've not had the opportunity for a swimming pool. That's the confirmation of 17 new members in the Church of Christ, your brothers and sisters. Let me see if I can read this. On Saturday during the exposition, we experienced hard questions from the people. Questions about the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, but we really felt the Lord because he gives us knowledge to answer all of their questions. And they really understood of what we are explaining about the Church of Christ. And then Sunday afternoon, they decided to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't put this PowerPoint together. Jonathan did. And I'm sure he had to have help because he knows about as much as I do about computers. But his stepsisters, Prulianne Alameda and Omega May, they're very good at it. And I'm sure he had help. And he says, thank you for all your prayers. Mission accomplished, sir. And then I got a letter from Evangelist Camilo Sampson. Greetings in the most precious name of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sirs, we are so thankful for the victory over so many trials and hindrances which we have encountered during the past few months. The Church of Christ is beginning to grow bigger and wider. That's why the enemy is trying to hinder and to stop the work. Now, I want you to think about that. The hindrance and the stoppage of work is not just in the Philippines. That's wherever the Church of Christ goes to. Well, you read in the emails about Brother McAdoo's problems with getting a work permit to enter in legally to the nation of Kenya. It's one thing after another. And I submit to you, it's not just overseas, it's here in the United States. Satan is agitated. And those that lean towards the world will use everything they can to put in your path, my path, our brothers and sisters' paths. And I like what the evangelist is telling us. But thank God, because the Church of Christ is founded upon a solid rock that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I like that. I'm told it's been 50 years since an evangelist was called forth in this Church of Christ. And we are blessed to have one in the Philippines. The beauty and glory of the Church of Christ is beginning to shine all over the Philippines. and its last message, especially the Book of Mormon, will soon spread throughout the whole face of the earth. That's your brother. That's your servant in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he believes in the prophecy in Daniel, the second chapter. He believes that that rock cut out of a mountain, that stone cut out without human hands, will continue until Christ comes. He's a member of that church of Christ. You are members of that church of Christ. And he says it's not going to stop. It will envelop the whole earth. Thank God for the good success of our new mission work in Central Luzon, where 17 were added to the church of Christ, to the church, through water baptism. We are praying for more members to be added to the church in the future. Sirs, we thank you so much for your full pledge of support. And pay attention to what he's saying. He's thanking me, not Mike McGee, but as a representative of your church. He's thanking each of you for your prayers, your time, your money. He's thanking you for presenting this truth to him. And not just him, but to over 4,000 in the Philippines. And not just the Philippines, he says, throughout the whole world. Especially your love and concern for the work here in the Philippines. We love you and always behind you in our prayers. Please extend my best regards to all the saints, especially to Apostle Frank Fan and family. Yours in his service, Brother Camilo Sampson. Beginning to shine, and throughout the whole world. Now I'm going to show you a few pictures of this place. I don't know where it's at. It's on the island of Mindanao, Pagadian. And they started out early in the morning with fog, and I've experienced fog where you couldn't see 8 feet in front of your bumper. And then they stopped for breakfast along the way. The sister on the left is Sister Lolita Alameda, the wife of Prudencio Alameda. They were here in the United States at one time. You may remember her. The sister on the right is Brother Jonathan's wife, Judith. It took her almost 3 years after her husband determined to be baptized for herself. The lady that was worried about losing all that income. I can imagine the turmoil that she went through physically, mentally, but most of all spiritually. She's an intelligent lady. She's now a member of the Church of Christ. This is Bukidnon province, looking out over the valley there. They say this is from the mission house, the place that they meet at in Pagadian City. And this is a bunka, which is an outrigger that is seaworthy. I've done a baptism out in the sea off that. Getting off of one is easy. Getting back in is another thing. They had to show me how. And I was a source of amusement for about 15 minutes trying to get back in that thing. But anyway, they're going to White Beach Island, where they had a water baptism. And then a confirmation by the looks like not by the side of the water, but still standing in it. That's Elder Roger Manali that is doing the confirmation, probably did the baptism too. And then this is where they meet in Pagadian. And I'm told it's air-conditioned. It's the only meeting place we have that is air conditioned. And I look forward to not to getting there, driving there, but once I arrive, that's what it looks like. Looks like there's a good number more than 17 that were baptized. We have there a blessing of a child, not a willing participant, but nonetheless, she's being blessed of God. And that's Evangelist Samson. Then they had a home visitation there, one of the new members. This evidently is down close to the seashore, built up on stilts for high tide. And their homes are a little cramped. You get to know each other real quick. And I thought to put this here to conclude this PowerPoint. I have one more. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. Think back to when you were baptized. King Benjamin is talking to a group of people that are entering into a covenant with Jesus Christ. And they have entered in. And they are looking forward. Great views of that which is to come. Now, the book of Ephesians says we are to armor ourselves. Our brother Lawrence said a battle for truth, and it is. But on the other side of the armor, on the other side of the battle, what is to come? Remember your baptism, and you were ready to take on anything. I remember my day. I was ready. But then what happens? You and I, like Nephi and Paul in their writings, suffered valleys. But we remembered the high places. And from the high places, the spiritual plane, we have great views of that which is to come. And that is what we must maintain in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. What He's promised. What He's going to deliver. Now we're going to look at another one of their presentations. To the island of Bohol, and Elder Alameda, Priest Superior, and Evangelist Samson made this trip. Now, one thing I cautioned the priesthood on over there. When they meet together as a priesthood, they make decisions. But when they go out on a mission such as this, the evangelist is in charge. And they're good with that. And it looks like he's worn out before he even starts on this trip. They departed Cebu. They had to fly from the island of Mindanao to Cebu. And at Cebu, they picked up sea transport. And they're on one of their ocean jets. Again, it looks like Elder Samson is ready to go to bed. Priest Arturo Superior is ready for the journey. He's excited. And this is a picture of the seaport of Bohol on the island. And Jonathan on the left is calling for their whoever's supposed to pick them up and take them to their rest place. Filipinos can sleep anywhere. They don't even have to be laying down. This is where they call it the venue. This is where they met for the presentation, the exposition. Looks quite small on the inside. This is the leader that they elected of the group that was baptized there, Alexander Rosales. And after the priest Arturo Superior delivered his exposition, they went to a house of the member of Cahayag Mission. Cahayag Mission is not on the island of Bohol. That's back on Mindanao. That's Arturo's mission. That's the one he's pastor at. And one of his members moved to the island of Bohol for employment. And that's where they got this lead from. A member that moved for employment. That's the assistant leader there, Raleigh Salat. The sister there in the lower left, she's the member at Cahayag, and Arturo's greeting her husband on the right there. Having conversation, storytelling. And Filipinos can spin some pretty big ones. They're good at it. They do it for entertainment, and sometimes that's about all they have. These are the baptized members they have there already. There are nine of them. There are nine people there, but the second from the right foreground, that's Priest Arturo Superior. The ninth one was not there for whatever reason. They're traveling to the town of Claren for a baptism. And then in the sea, once again, four are making their covenant with Jesus Christ. Great views of that which is to come. And the confirmation by Jonathan at water's edge. They're getting ready to go back to Cebu to pick up their air flight back. And that's the ocean jet. I don't know if I want to ride on one of those. They do about 29 knots. And that's pretty fast. And there's a lot of junk in that bay. I don't know if I want to go that fast on water. Picking up tickets there. And Jonathan takes the pictures. One of the right decisions Pat and I made was to give them enough money to buy a camera with. And they're making good use of it. This way they can document where they've been and who our new brothers and sisters are. TransAsia Shipping Lines, departure at 8 o'clock in the evening and arriving at 6 o'clock the next morning. I know I don't want to get on that thing that long. We glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all the works that he has done miraculously and graciously. He guides us for our safety and travel. To God be the glory. Now, this is back on the island of Mindanao. This is what most of our missions look like. This is a Lang mission. And this is the way they begin, weaving panels of bamboo and then placing a shellac on them. Bamboo termites don't get into. For the wood, you put lignin on, but this is probably shellac. And the missions are erected by the members. We usually have one person that will pay a few pesos that knows what's going on, knows how to build one. Beginning to take shape. And that's Elder Rafi Vivas. He is the pastor there in Alang. He's also the one that drives that van for 18 hours. He's a good driver. The van is not comfortable, though. That's his wife, Ruth Vivas. She's also the secretary of the Board of Trustees. And since she became the secretary, I get the best minutes from the board. I know exactly what they're doing. She does a really good job. And that's pretty much the way it'll look until they put a cement floor in it. Now, to a Filipino, it's not complete until it's enclosed on all four sides without air conditioning. And I would prefer put a cement floor in, but leave it like that. At least you catch a breeze if there is one. But the path of the just is as the shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's not just for your brothers and sisters. That's for you and I. That's for everyone that follows Christ. Christ is coming back. And his presence is going to shine brighter and brighter against what Ephesians, the sixth chapter, listed in verse 12, the powers of darkness. There's going to be a more startling difference. Right now, we're in shades of gray. We don't know. But as we follow Christ, as we determine to be the just that walk this path, the gray will be dispelled in the light of Christ. I believe that. And I know you do. And every member of the Church of Christ must, until that perfect day when we're sealed. Until that time, there is not a one of us that cannot fail, trip, fall, turn away. Not a one of us. That's the reason we're admonished to trust not in the arm of flesh. I like that little place. That's the Church of Christ in the Philippines, for the most part. We have some that are made out of cement block, well constructed. They're nice, they're considerably cooler. But I like these that are built out of bamboo. I like the ones that have a thatched roof. You have a lot of entertainment in a thatched roof. You have insects. You have spiders. You have snakes that are after the insects. I've used a snake in the roof and wove it into my sermon before. That's the flavor of the Philippines. And I thank you for sending me and everyone that travels abroad. But you know, if it is a battle for truth, and it is, it's not the missionaries that win the battle. It's those that are at home. Those that support the work as it goes forth. And that's you. And I say that not to make your head big. Who was it? Ammon got in trouble when he began to talk about what all they had done. But it's God that accomplishes as we follow him. And I thank you for this responsibility. Thank you for this duty. I thank God for this Church of Christ. Thank you.
I want to thank my brother for being our guest speaker this morning. Really touching to see the work in these foreign lands and to see the dedication of the people and their desire to serve the Lord, even when it means hardship.